One of the things we do every Sunday as we gather together is we remember the death of the Lord Jesus Christ through the table of communion. We drink from a cup and we eat some bread as a reminder of his spilled blood and his broken body on behalf of sinners who believe. And Paul says there is a backward looking to this and a forward looking. This is a remembrance. And we do this to remember his death. There is nothing magical or mystical in what we're about to do, but a remembrance. That is, we bring back to our thinking the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus in our place. And there is also a forward-looking. Paul says that we proclaim his death until he returns. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 9. And we'll catch a glimpse of what it is we look back to and what it is we look forward to in this celebration. In Hebrews 9, 27 and 28, the author tells us about a coming death for us and the death of Jesus and how those two relate. He says in verse 27, "Inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly await him." He begins by talking about our own death. You see, the inevitability of our own physical demise is a reality few of us think about enough. In fact, mankind, to avoid the thought of a sudden, irreversible separation, has come up with a number of ameliorating myths. Purgatory, the thought that you can sort of clean up your life after your life is over, is a myth. Reincarnation, that you get another chance and another chance and another chance, is a myth. Annihilation, the idea that you just go out of existence after you're done living, is another myth, all designed to remove from us the emotional shock of this reality. It is appointed for every man to die once and then to face judgment. You see, every one of us is mortal. Every one of us faces the unflinching, perfect, good, beautiful, holy, and awful assessment of our Creator. And left to ourselves, it would not go well, for that judgment would only be based on our activities, the motives of our hearts and our words. And none of us could stand the test. And there is another death in view. It's in verse 28, is the death of God the Son, Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. The author here says, in the same way that it is appointed for men to die once, so also Christ, having been offered once. That is, Jesus the Christ died once. And why did he die? To bear away the sins of the many. You see, if left to ourselves, we can only incur God's wrath. But if we have a substitute, one who bears our sins in our place and dies in our place, then God's judgment is changed for us. For God can only see what his perfect Son has done in our place as our substitute, taken our sins upon himself and paid for them fully in order that he might give us his perfect righteousness. Friends, if you are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ because of his substitutionary work, there is no more condemnation. If you have not yet experienced the forgiveness of sin and the bearing away of your guilt by the Savior, today could be a day of salvation for you. Turn to Jesus and be saved this day so that God's wrath against you would no longer stand, but be completely and forever removed. And for those who have had their sins borne away by Jesus the Christ, there is a second coming. It's described in verse 28. Jesus will appear a second time for salvation. And that second coming will not be a salvation from sin. It will be a salvation from this temporal and cursed existence. When Jesus will set everything right, this is a salvation without reference to sin, but it is at his coming for those who eagerly await him. And so as we celebrate the cup, which is an emblem of his blood spilt in our place, and as we eat the bread, which is an emblem of his crushed body in our place, we do this in remembrance of him, and by it we proclaim his death until he comes again to save us in an ultimate sense for all those who eagerly await his appearing. At this time, the men are going to come forward, and you men can come down and begin to distribute those elements. And as they're coming, we're going to take a few moments of silence. And this is an opportunity for you to remember Christ and rejoice in your forgiveness. It's also an opportunity for you to examine your own heart, to confess any known sin, to repent, to make plans for fruits in keeping with repentance. And so take these moments of silence and reflect on the condition of your own heart. Turn to Christ for the first time if you need to. And examine yourself and enjoy and rejoice in the forgiveness provided.